Viva Prelimo! Viva Prelimo!
Prelimo, ai na muito!
Ai na muito, Prelimo, ai na muito!
Prelimo, ai na muito!
Ai na muito, Prelimo, ai na muito!
Viva Prelimo, the story of the national liberation struggle in Mozambique. The story of a victory and of the men and women who made it possible.
Prelimo, aina muito.
Prelimo, aina muito.
Part 8, The Road to Lusaka. April the 25th, 1974, the Portuguese armed forces overthrew the fascist government of Marcelo Caetano in Lisbon. The soldiers proclaimed their intention of restoring democracy in Portugal and ending the colonial wars, including the one in Mozambique. A little over 4 months later, Frelimo and the new Portuguese authorities met in Lusaka and signed an agreement giving independence to Mozambique. Die-hard colonialists argued at the time, and indeed still argue today, that these facts prove that Frelimo did not actually win independence for Mozambique, that independence was handed to Mozambique by a group of Portuguese traitors. The argument goes further, with the insistence that Portugal could have won the war against Frelimo, that surrender to Frelimo's demands was not necessary. The truth, in fact, is very different. The independence of Mozambique was not a result of the coup d'etat in Portugal. It was the freedom struggle in Mozambique, Angola, and Guinea-Bissau which caused the coup d'etat in Portugal. And after this coup d'etat, Frelimo had to continue fighting, indeed had to step up the armed struggle in Mozambique to bring Portugal's new government to acceptance of true independence. The road to the Lusaka independence talks began not with the coup d'etat in Lisbon, but with the launching of the armed struggle in Mozambique 10 years earlier. From the very beginning of the war, Frelimo's victories had created contradictions in Portugal itself, and by mid-1973, the scale and frequency of these victories had reached an unprecedented level. The Portuguese commander-in-chief in Mozambique, General Causa de Arriaga, was no longer talking about winning the war, but of bringing the situation under control within about 2 years. He admitted that military operations in Mozambique were costing Portugal 30% of its national budget, and he added Portugal would be throwing 10,000 more soldiers into battle against Frelimo by the end of that year, 1973. There were already about 50,000 soldiers in the Portuguese armed forces in Mozambique, well armed and well trained, a powerful fighting force. Many thousands of these men were posted in the province of Tete, with the job of guarding the giant Cahora Bassa hydroelectric complex and the roads and railway leading to it. These were vital supply routes for construction material and consumer goods for the technicians. The main Portuguese military base for protection of the site was at a place called Chitima, and on June the 18th, 1973, the battalion there came under withering rocket fire from Frelimo artillerymen posted on a hillside several kilometres away. The officers' mess the radio installations, gun emplacements, and the electric power station were wrecked. The Shitima airfield was badly damaged, and many Portuguese soldiers were killed. This was a terrible blow to Portuguese morale, and a matter of serious concern to the 15 big companies from France, West Germany, South Africa, Italy, and Portugal who were involved in the construction of Cahora Bassa. Not only the area around Cahora Bassa that the Portuguese had to worry about. By this time, the war covered well over a third of the country, and Frelimo was carrying out more and more operations in the central areas of Mozambique, areas of great economic importance to Portuguese colonialism. The Portuguese armed forces were beginning to show the first signs of demoralization. Many young Portuguese conscripted to fight against Frelimo did everything they could to avoid engaging combat. When sent on combat missions, they would camp just a few kilometers from their base, waste all their ammunition by shooting it in the air, and return a few days later to the post, claiming many battles with Frelimo and many guerrillas killed. Meanwhile, the drain on men and resources caused by the wars in Mozambique, Angola, and Guinea-Bissau had chronically enfeebled Portugal itself. Now, at a time when the economies of many Western European countries were coming under severe strain as a result of the international monetary crisis, Portugal, the poorest country in the area, was being forced to spend more money than ever on the war in Mozambique. The scene was set for a revolt within the Portuguese armed forces, and it came on March the 16th, 1974, in Lisbon. The 16th rebellion in Lisbon was a failure. The Caetano regime apparently learned of it in advance, and it got no further than a march of about 200 men with an armored column. But the officers who led the attempted coup were feeling their way, and 40 days later, on April the 25th, they tried again. This time, they succeeded. Caetano was overthrown as an armed regiment marched into Lisbon, and loyalist soldiers sent to fight them simply crossed over and joined the rebels. But power was not transferred to the anti-fascist, anti-colonialist leaders of the rebellion. Instead, it was transferred to General Antonio de Spínola, a 64-year-old fascist officer who had written a book suggesting that perhaps the colonies could be kept under Portuguese control by introducing political and economic reforms. These reforms, he felt, would remove the justification for the armed struggle by Frelimo and its sister movements in Angola and Guinea-Bissau. There was some confusion in the world at that time about Spínola, with many people thinking he was a progressive liberal and the leader of the young rebel officers' armed forces movement. There was really no need for this confusion, for on the very day of the coup d'etat in Lisbon, Spínola declared, "I am not the leader of this movement. I did not act against the government." The coup did in fact put an end to fascism in Portugal. Spínola was powerless to stop that process, and Frelimo was quick to congratulate the Portuguese people on this achievement, while calling attention to the fact that Portuguese colonialism continued to exist. President Samora Machel declared, "It is only with national independence that we can terminate the war." There was, he said, no such thing as democratic colonialism. General Spinola was not ready to talk about independence. In March, when he was Deputy Chief of Staff of the Portuguese Armed Forces, 10,000 Portuguese soldiers had been transferred to Mozambique from Angola, bringing the total Portuguese strength in Mozambique to more than 70,000 men. With this huge force at his disposal, Spinola was prepared to try to carry on the war. His objective was to avoid handing over power to the liberation movement. The bombing of the liberated areas continued, and the Portuguese carried on with their attacks on Frelimo installations wherever they could find them. 2 months after the coup d'etat, a Swedish journalist visiting the liberated areas with Frelimo reported that every day during his visit he heard the sound of bombing and saw wounded civilians being brought into Frelimo hospitals. But, he added, the Mozambican people were prepared for a protracted war, and the sooner General Spinola accepted the realities of the situation, the better it would be for himself and his own soldiers. Spinola was not listening. He tried all sorts of manoeuvres, dressing up his own men as Frelimo guerrillas and sending them off to massacre innocent civilians so that Frelimo would be blamed. He offered a referendum to let the people of Mozambique choose whether they wanted to be independent or stay with Portugal. To this, President Samora Machel gave a prompt and brief reply. You don't ask a slave if he wants to be free. Futile peace talks were held in Lusaka in June, and then the war intensified. To the horror of General Spinola, his military apparatus in Mozambique began to fall to bits. By the 1st, Frelimo opened a new war front in the province of Zambezia and very quickly surrounded the town of Morumbala. 1,000 soldiers in that province deserted and joined Frelimo. 2,000 soldiers at Boani barracks outside the capital, Lorenzo Marques, declared their support for Frelimo and refused to be sent to the operational zones. A large number of officers at Nampula General Headquarters declared themselves in favour of stopping operations against Frelimo. In different parts of the country, Portuguese units began approaching Frelimo, disassociating themselves from their government's colonial policy and arranging local ceasefires with Frelimo. By this time, the progressive officers who'd organised the rebellion in Lisbon were growing more and more concerned with Spinola's handling of the colonial situation. Men like Melo Antunes and Otelo Saraiva de Carvalho had overthrown Caetano to bring peace and honour to their country, not to preside over the total military defeat of the Portuguese armed forces. And such a defeat was by now in sight. On the 1st of August 1974, a large Frelimo infantry and artillery force surrounded the Portuguese military post called Omar in Cabo Delgado province. The freedom fighters told the soldiers inside to come out or the whole garrison would be destroyed. 130 Portuguese soldiers came out and surrendered, and a battle was won without a shot being fired. A few days later, a Portuguese delegation led by a member of the armed forces movement arrived in Dar es Salaam for talks with Frelimo. At this meeting, Portugal agreed to Frelimo's terms for peace. The final formal meeting was held in Lusaka between September the 5th and the 7th. Portugal agreed to recognize Frelimo as the representative of the Mozambican people and to transfer the powers it held over Mozambique to Frelimo. A ceasefire was then established. The agreement signed on September the 7th declared that a transitional government would be set up, dominated by Frelimo, but with 3 Portuguese ministers, and that full independence would be proclaimed on June the 25th, 1975. Everything that Frelimo had fought for during 10 years of bitter armed struggle had been won. The war was over.
Frelimo, ai na mwisho.
Ai na mwisho, Frelimo, ai na mwisho.
Frelimo.
You've been listening to a chapter in the story of the liberation struggle in Mozambique. This 9-part series was produced at the studios of Radio Mozambique in Maputo, and you can hear the next installment of Viva Frelimo at the same time next week.